Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92 with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian nutritionist from Immunutrition here in Madison and with Madison Healthcare Services. And, well, good to see you back again for another week here, Amber.
Great to be back.
And summer is definitely on its way here. We're happy to see that, aren't we?
We are. It's beautiful out.
Does that change our eating habits?
Well, it really does. We should talk about that one of these.
Maybe that'll be a good topic sometime.
Yeah. It's a little easier to eat some of the less comfort food type foods in the summer. In the winter, we just seek all those things that make us happy because there's no sunlight and it's cold and we're inside.
That's right. Well, we'll talk about that another day. But
yeah,
today we're going to talk about reflux.
We are. Fun
great,
topic.
Great subject, yes. It's one of my favorites.
Is it? Yes. A little less fun than summer. I'll give you that. But it's an important one. And this month is Esophageal Cancer Awareness Month. And while reflux is not directly related necessarily to esophageal cancer, reflux is a really important thing for us to manage for our esophageal health. So a lot of us have experienced reflux or heartburn on occasion, but when it becomes frequent, that's when we start to look into what we can do to help manage it. And there's a number of different things. So we aren't going to get into the meds too deeply today because that's a really good conversation for your primary care provider. So if you are on reflux medication or you, as we're talking about this, you feel like maybe you should talk to your care team about it a little bit, that's a great conversation for you to have with them. Sometimes people see things on the news about what happens if we take some of those medications too long. And again, great conversation to have with your provider. We're going to focus a little bit more on diet, lifestyle, that kind of stuff today. Things you can change at home. So what happens when we have reflux is the little doorway between our esophagus and our stomach either doesn't shut as tightly as it should or it opens when it's not supposed to, essentially. And that can happen when we have eaten a large meal, if we've laid down too quickly after eating. Sometimes people experience it in pregnancy because we've got all that extra mass pushing up at the bottom of your esophagus, just with weight gain in general, anything that can kind of put pressure on it there. Sometimes it happens from a trigger food, and we'll talk about what those are in a moment. Sometimes people don't necessarily know what triggered their reflux, but there are a lot of things that people do when they try to manage it. So prescription meds, I mentioned that. That's certainly a common way of managing frequent reflux. Lots of over-the-counter antacids are very common as well. People probably find those in most homes, some kind of a reflux or antacid medication that they got over-the-counter. I do like to note that it's important not to take those in excess because they can have the opposite effect and worsen your reflux. And if you're using them too frequently, again, a really important thing to bring to your care team. And then when it comes to diet and lifestyle changes, there are some things we can do that are incredibly effective. And there are some things that are maybe a little bit more faddish or based more on anecdotes, things that have worked for individuals, but we don't really have a lot of research behind them. And I've said it before, but you know, not having research doesn't mean that something isn't effective. It just means we don't have a lot of evidence to show us that it's going to be effective for a large number of people or a diverse population of people. So one of those kind of more faddish things that we talk about is apple cider vinegar. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of people who take apple cider vinegar to manage their reflux, but that question comes up quite often.
I haven't heard of it.
Well, a lot of people just take a shot of apple cider vinegar. I am here to ask you not to just take a shot of apple cider vinegar. If you are going to try to use that to manage your reflux, we want to dilute that in a cup of water. So 6 to 8 ounces of water to a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar rather than just taking it straight. Now, that's one of those ones that we really don't have very much research to show that it's going to be effective, but some people swear by it. It's unlikely to be harmful unless you have some very specific reason. If you have ulcers, we especially want to make sure it's diluted, and it might not be a good idea at all. But certainly, you know, if you don't have any other big concerns and you want to try a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and some water, it's worth a shot. Some of our more common trigger foods, things that people tend to avoid because they worsen reflux, would be a lot of our high-fat foods, especially greasy foods, but any high-fat food can do it. spicy foods, things that are acidic, like tomato-based sauces, pizza, spaghetti, things like that. Citrus fruits, especially juices like orange juice, can be a trigger. Caffeine can be a big trigger. A lot of caffeine fanatics out here, fans.
I got it anyway.
Chocolate, alcohol, carbonation, mint. There's a number of different things that can cause reflux. Everyone's triggers are a little bit different. You might have triggers that aren't even on this list, but those are some good ones to look at. Now, I thought we could talk just a little bit when we talk about eliminating things about what the research does say right now. And there's a couple big meta-analyses out there where they looked at lots of different studies. They looked at things that were restrictive dietary interventions, so they pull foods out, other ones where they just change diet or add things in, where they add supplements or probiotics, those bacteria that live in our gut. And really what the first big meta-analysis found was that there was some symptom improvement with a test-based elimination diet. So that's one where you do a test first and a doctor or dietitian tells you what to avoid. There was a little bit of research for a low nickel diet. Now, most people probably don't know what foods are high in nickel, but that would be like fish and shellfish, nuts and seeds, chocolate, cocoa, legumes, some of our processed foods with additives.
I hadn't really thought about nickel before.
And most people don't. And it's believed that that one might be beneficial because of a sensitivity to nickel. So some people might be sensitive to it. It just creates more inflammation in the esophagus and causes acid to come up. Some foods that were added in that they found were beneficial, probiotic yogurt. So not all yogurt is rich in probiotics. You want one that has probiotics added to it. Also, a few supplements like psyllium husk, which we find in a lot of our fiber supplements, olive leaf extract, melatonin, amino acids, and B vitamins, and then ginger-containing supplements. So those are things that had some research to support that they might be effective. Another meta-analysis that looked at lots of different kinds of eating found that a lower-carb diet improved how long reflux lasted. And that was about it. There weren't really a whole lot of other good findings in there. In fact, that one even showed that reducing the speed of eating, which is one thing we often recommend, didn't have a lower percentage of reflux events compared to people who ate quickly. Now, the challenge is a lot of studies are done differently, so we can't compare them directly. So doing these big meta-analyses where we look at multiple studies is difficult because we aren't necessarily measuring the same things. And one study can give us some information, but a single study could have limitations. It might only be relevant to a certain population. It might have been missing another key factor that they didn't take into account. So while that study isn't irrelevant, it's hard for us to make big recommendations when there's not a lot of evidence out there. And with diet and reflux, there's just not a lot of evidence out there. What we know is fiber can help. Too much sugar can be problematic. Both things I say all the time anyway.
You do.
So lots of fruits and veggies. Being mindful of some of those trigger foods that I mentioned, acidic things, spicy things, high-fat foods. But you can keep if you're somebody who experiences a lot of reflux, one, talk to your care team. But two, it can be helpful to keep a little bit of a journal so you can see which foods tend to flare that reflux more often than others.
Stay away from peppers.
Peppers can do it.
Yeah, that'll do it for me.
The spicy things do it for me too.
Enjoy them over and over again.
Yes. And the older I get, the more reflux triggers I have. So age can change things too.
Well, I'm glad I don't have that problem. Well, I was looking for more information on reflux.
Yeah. But
I guess it's just not a fun subject because it's pretty much everybody disagrees with what you said.
They kind of do. And, you know, diet change isn't fun. It's not easy cutting out things that you enjoy. Some people love spicy foods, but it gives them reflux. Moderation, right?
Moderation. That's right. In everything.
In everything.
Right. All right. Well, Amber, if anybody has any more questions on reflux or reflex or any other subject, how can they find you?
You can find me online at immunutrition.com. That's I-M-U, nutrition.com. Or on Facebook at immunutrition, or call up to the front desk at the clinic here in Madison, and they can set you up with an appointment with me too.
Sounds good. By the way, how's Pecan Month going for you?
So good.
Good.
Yes.
National Pecan Day was yesterday or something.
I think it was.
Yeah. So we talked about that last week.
We did. I haven't brought any pecan-based treats in for you yet, so I'll have to get on that here before the month ends.
That's right. You know how much I like pecans.
I know. So,
yeah. Get some cashews and a handful of chickpeas while you're at it.
I will.
Okay. See you next week.
Thank you.
Amber Boyens with another edition of Taco Tuesday here on Q92.